Let us turn again to the part of God's Word that we read in the Gospel according to Mark, chapter 14. And we can read at verse 8. Mark chapter 14 and verse 8. She hath done what she could. She is come aforehand to anoint my body to the burying. Mark chapter 14 and verse 8. She hath done what she could. She is come aforehand to anoint my body to the burying. Lazarus was just raised from the dead. The Savior is again in Bethany, the village of Martha, Mary, and Lazarus, on the farther side of the Mount of Olives, about 3 kilometers from Jerusalem, on the road to Jericho. Amid the olive trees, there was the rustic, roomy house, perhaps just one story in height. It was there in a spacious room with its low tables surrounded by couches, and the guests were reclining and feasting upon likely a simple provision of bread and wine and herbs and freshly picked fruit. The people were of various sorts. Some probably were Jews from Jerusalem, and others were standing around as spectators, and probably there were peasants crowding around the door. But there was Christ with his disciples. And there were some others too. Well, there was Lazarus at the table with them, risen from the dead. There was Simon the leper, probably one who was recently healed of leprosy and whose flesh had become like that of a little child. Well, there was Martha. And to her commendation, we see that she is intent on serving. Now, we find that, in the Gospel according to John, chapter 12. And then we see Mary, absorbed with her self-denying love to her Savior. She expressed her love to Christ in a special way. It was love that was expressed toward her Savior in connection with his death. It was good. What she did was a good thing. That is what the Savior says. She hath wrought a good work on me. And it was timely, because the Savior was not always going to be with them, at least in this outward way. Whereas the poor, they would always have that opportunity to take care of them. And Mary's good work that she performed toward the Savior was good because it was what she could do. Well, we should ask ourselves several questions on a day set apart for preparation in order to remember the Lord's death. Do we love the Savior like Mary did? Do we, like Mary, desire to express our love to the Savior? Do we desire further to make use of the opportunities that the Lord gives us in order to show our love to Him? And if the Lord desires us to show our love to Him in a certain way that He Himself has specified, do we value that? Does it mean anything to us that the Lord has shown us a particular way that gives us the opportunity to express our love and devotion to Him? Do we appreciate it? Christ has already told us how He would have us honor Him. He tells His people, this do in remembrance of me? Do we desire to remember him in love, in the way that he himself directs us? He tells his disciples and he tells us, if we are his disciples, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. And he says, drink ye all of it, giving them the cup. He says, drink ye all, not some of you disciples, but all of you drink of it. For this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. Friends, the Lord knows that we are dust. He knows that we are not able to do everything. And the Lord's people readily admit they do not do all the things that they desire to do. But are we like Mary? Are we doing what we can? Can it be said of us, about the Lord's people today, can it be said of them, they have done what they could? The Lord helping us then, let us try to look at three important points in regard to what Mary accomplished on that day in Bethany when she broke the alabaster box of ointment and poured it out upon her Savior. First of all, we notice that it was good. It was good in itself. She hath wrought a good work on me. Secondly, we notice that it was good because it was timely. It was seasonable. It was making the most of an opportunity that was given her. It was good because it was timely. And thirdly, we would look at the fact that it was good because it was what she could do. It was good because it was what she could. She did what she could, and that is why it was good. She had done what she could. And that is what we would notice this morning. These three matters. The work that Mary performed, it was good in itself. Secondly, it was good because it was timely. And thirdly, it was good because she did what she could do. Doesn't the Lord value what we can do if we give it, so to speak, all that we have got? It may not be much, but we gave everything we could, and that is what the Lord values. And while we are hearing this part of God's Word, friends, whatever our condition is, all of us should be asking, what are we doing with ourselves? What are we doing with our lives? What are our hearts set upon? Are we falling in line with the purpose of God in creating us? As we heard recently, man's chief end is to glorify God and to enjoy Him forever. Or are we going in the opposite direction? What are we doing with ourselves? This precious woman gave all she had to the Lord. Are we giving ourselves to the devil? Are we going the way of Judas? Are we going the way of Saul of Tarsus before he was converted? Or are we like Mary, giving ourselves to the Lord? Well, we notice first of all that it was good in itself. Verse 3, and being in Bethany in the house of Simon the leper, as he sat at meat, there came a woman. Who is this? Well, we know from John's Gospel, of course, it was Mary, the sister of Martha. There came a woman having an alabaster box of ointment of spikenard, very precious, and she brake the box and poured it on his head. In John's Gospel, we see that she also poured it on his feet. That probably the ointment was poured out upon his whole body. The Savior says, she has come to anoint my body to the burying. What is alabaster? It was in an alabaster box. That was the container. It was, alabaster is a clear stone that is still used to make jewelry boxes and other items of value. And it contained spikenard, a precious perfume imported from India, and it was made from plants that grow in the high elevations of the Himalayas. So that is what this woman, Mary, the sister of Martha and the brother and the sister of Lazarus, came in and brought into the room and broke the box. Perhaps she broke the seal and then poured out the ointment upon the Savior. Well, Mary's heart was poured out as well. Just as the ointment was poured out, so her heart was overflowing, as we sang in Psalm 45. My heart is inditing. In the original, it is my heart is overflowing or bubbling up, boiling over, literally, a good matter. And the heart is full of love to Christ and is ready to speak for Him, at least to do for Him. We may not be able to speak much for Christ, but do we desire to do for Him? Well, Mary, we don't read of any words that she said here, but we see what she did, and we know that it was good. How do we know that it was good? Because the Savior said so. Judas didn't think it was good. The ringleader of the disciples who seemed to have murmured against her, they thought it was a waste. But the Lord said it was good. Therefore, we know, we are certain, it was a good thing. Well, we can learn that we shouldn't be surprised if others criticize us for the good things that we try to do for the Lord. There may be some who will question whether it was a worthy matter at all. But the Lord knew it was good, and the Lord protected her. We sang there in Psalm 31, O love the Lord, all ye His saints, because the Lord doth guard the faithful, and He plenteously proud doers doth reward. The Lord shielded Mary from the criticism of Judas. And that is what we should be looking to when we endeavor to do good for the cause of Christ in spite of others' opposition or criticism. The Lord takes care of His people. What Mary did was good. We should be asking, are we endeavoring to do good in the cause of Christ? At the very least, to live, or to lead, I should say, to lead a good example for others, to our family members, to people in the church around us, to a good example to the society in which we live. What we can also notice at this point is that the Lord, again, takes notice of it. He recognizes the good that we seek to do for Him. And we see that especially pointed out in verse 9, where the Savior says, Verily I say unto you, wheresoever this gospel shall be preached throughout the whole world, this also that she hath done shall be spoken of for a memorial of her. So far it should be from us to be giving in to the criticism of others. We should see that God shields His people, but also remembers their services toward Him. He recognizes it, He commends it, and He accepts it. It is a good work that she did, and it would be proclaimed throughout the world. And the fact that we are here endeavoring to preach on this subject this morning is evidence of the infallibility of Christ and the certainty of His Word. It is being proclaimed even in the 21st century, even to the ends of the earth here in New Zealand. The service of love that Mary performed towards Christ is being acknowledged even 2,000 years later. Well, the Lord notices our good works. They are not sources of merit. They do not earn salvation for us. They are the evidence of love. Has the Lord wrought a good work in us? Has He powerfully changed us and given us a love for Him? That's the big question. And then, is there the evidence of that coming to expression in acts of service of love? The good works are not the grounds of acceptance with God. They do not bring us into His favor. They are the evidence of love to Him. And just now the point is, the Lord notices it. And He accepts it. He recognizes the intention. He recognizes that it is an expression of love. This is what Paul the Apostle points out in Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 10. For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love. He won't forget. He is not unrighteous to forget. He is righteous and He will remember. He will remember your work and labor of love, which ye have showed toward His name, in that ye have ministered to the saints and do minister. And how do we show our love to Christ? Well, often it's by showing love to His people. Now, the Savior is not here physically present, but His people are. And we can give expression of our love to Christ by doing good for His people. The Lord takes notice of that, as you are no doubt well familiar with Matthew chapter 25, on the day of judgment, when the Lord says to His people, "Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world." Why? "For I was an hungered, and ye gave me meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me drink," and so on. The Lord's people won't take much notice of their own good works. "Lord, when saw we thee an hungered and fed thee," and so on. But the Savior is saying, "Inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, the most seemingly insignificant of His people, yet if we did it to them, we did it to Him." If we showed our love to His people because they are His people, we show our love to Him. Accepted in Christ. So these good works are expressions of love, and the Lord takes notice of that. What Mary did was good. We know that because the Savior said so. It was good in itself. It was an expression of love to Him. Well, we go on in the second place to consider that it was good because it was timely. That's not what Judas thought. He thought it was a waste because it could have easily been sold and given to the poor. I can't remember exactly. I think 300 pence was a whole year's worth of wages. It could have supported at least one of the peasants for a whole year. That's a lot of money. Just think what we could do with $30,000. But that $30,000 or whatever it may be was spent upon love to Christ. Not to the poor, it was given to the Savior. Because the Savior was there, now was the time to do it. The Lord Jesus, when He says, "The poor you have always with you, and whensoever ye will, ye may do them good," He's not undervaluing charity to the poor. But He is telling them, and He is telling us, that we should make the most of the opportunities that are given to us. It was what Mary did was a seasonable thing because of the particular season. It was what was taking place at the moment that was to be made use of. Sometimes we are in doubt about what our particular duty is when it's a question between this duty and the other duty. How do we know what we should engage in? What is the priority. Well, the rarer opportunities of doing good should have the opportunity. When there is when there are other opportunities for doing things at other times, but here is a rare opportunity of giving expression of our love to Christ, we should make the most of that. That should have the priority with us. The poor ye have always with you, and whensoever ye will, ye may do them good, but me ye have not always. Now, on this occasion in which the Savior's death is to be remembered, do we not recognize that this is an opportunity that is not always given to us? And should not the Lord's people make use of the opportunity of giving their expression of love to Him? There may be times in which we should visit the sick or give to the poor. We may have a busy schedule in doing these things, but if the Lord places in our path the opportunity of giving expression of our love to Him in the way of remembering His death, should we not make use of that? Well, we go on to consider in the third place that what Mary did was good, not only because it was good in itself, not only because it was timely, but because it was what she could do. The Lord shields her, protects Mary from the criticism of Judas. He says, "Let her alone. Why trouble ye her? She hath wrought a good work on me. For ye have the poor with you always, and whensoever ye will, ye may do them good. But me ye have not always. She hath done what she could. She is come aforehand to anoint my body to the burying." She hath done what she could. She couldn't do everything. She couldn't go preach to 3,000 souls. She couldn't go to Africa or India or whatever and do service there. But the Savior was there in her own house, or I should say in her own village. And now was the time of giving expression to her love. And she was going to make use of the opportunity. She was going to do what she could do. And before we go into that much more, I should have pointed out that there was the connection of the Savior's death. And this is what she had in view. Of course, this is what we should have in view on a Saturday of a communion season when the Lord's death is to be observed tomorrow in His will. Are we doing what we can do in connection with observing the sacrament of His body and blood? She is come aforehand to anoint my body to the burying. The Savior was going to die. He would be buried, and He would rise again the third day. The Savior told His disciples often that He would die, that His enemies would take Him and crucify Him. And then He would rise again. Now this, of course, caused the disciples much sorrow when they were told this. It would seem that they did not take into account so much, really, the fact that He was going to rise again. Now the question is, what did Mary know? Some would say, well, the Savior is saying that she has come aforehand to anoint my body to the burying, and she knew that He was going to die soon and that He would rise again, and she wouldn't have the opportunity to anoint His body because He was going to rise from the dead. And that is exactly what happened. The women came there to anoint Him, but the stone was rolled away. The Savior was not in the tomb. They did not have the opportunity of anointing His body. Did Mary really know all that? I don't know if we can be certain. Some would say that the Savior is simply saying, that this is exactly what is taking place in the purpose of God. Mary doesn't know everything that's going to happen, but Christ knows what's going to happen, and He accepts this service of Mary with that in view. She has come in reality aforehand to anoint my body to the burying. It, with her, it's just an expression of love, but the Savior is taking it more in regard to the fact that He was going to die and she would not have the opportunity afterwards to anoint His body. But perhaps most think that she really did know. And after all, Mary was, as somebody said, one of the best listeners that the Savior had. Wasn't she there on that occasion quite a while before this when she was sitting at the feet of Jesus hearing His word while Martha was busy serving? She was drinking in the truth that the Savior that came from the Savior's lips, and she perhaps had a better understanding than others about the Savior's sacrifice of Himself, and that He would rise again from the dead. And she has come with that in view to anoint His body to the burying. Well, we may not be certain, but this is the way that the Savior takes it, with a definite connection with His death. And again, we should ask ourselves, are we making use of the opportunities to remember His death? The death of Christ is to be observed, I should say the sacrament of His body and blood is to be observed tomorrow. And symbolically, His body will be broken. And His blood received. The bread and the wine will be distributed. The communicants will receive into their mouths the bread and the wine, symbolic of receiving Christ crucified into their souls. And if they are rightly partaking, they are receiving Christ into their souls, looking to Jesus, discerning the Lord's body, looking through the bread and wine to the sacrifice of Christ, offering Himself a sacrifice to satisfy the justice of God. The law and the justice of God say, "Pay me that thou owest." And Christ pays the price with His own body and His own blood, giving His life a ransom for many. And the Lord's people will be endeavoring to look to Christ crucified, to discern the Lord's body, to look to the sacrifice of Christ through the bread and the wine that is designed to represent His body and blood, His sacrifice. Well, let us focus for a moment more particularly on the fact that Mary did what she could. This is the general principle involved in the Church of Christ. The measure of our obligation is our ability. How much we should give up to Christ in service to Him is determined by how much we can give up to Christ. Well, the short answer is we should give all, because all is required. We owe all to Him. If He bought us with His blood, we are His possession, we belong to Him, we owe all to Him. Well, that is the simple answer to the question. How much we owe to Christ is determined by how much we can give to Him, which is everything. But what is accepted is what we give if it's all that we can. Somebody put it this way: the Lord doesn't look really to what we give. He looks to what we have left. You give $20 to the collection, the Lord says, "I see you have another $80 in your pocket." Well, just to make it very simple, I don't want to oversimplify, but I want to make it plain. The Lord doesn't look to how much we give. He looks to how much we have left. And what was commendable in the widow was that even though she gave two mites, It was more than all the others because she gave all that she could. And that is what the Savior commends here with Mary. She hath done what she could. And you may very well have the $80 left to give to the poor. I'm not trying to be specific and bind anyone's conscience. But the point is, the Lord sees what you have left. Are you giving all? Are you giving your heart? And if the Lord demanded that other $80, would you be ready to give it? That is the point. Are we giving what we can? I'm not just talking about in the collection box. I'm talking about in every duty that the Lord asks of us. Of course, what we're speaking about is with reference to the sacrament of the Lord's Supper. If the Lord gives us the opportunity of remembering Him in this way that He has appointed, are we ready to honor Him in that way? Is He, in other words, is the Lord asking too much of us when He requires His people to remember Him in the sacrament of the Lord's Supper? He is not asking some great thing. Remember, Naaman's servant said, if Elisha had asked you to go to some other river and wash there or do some great thing, I think is what they said, wouldn't you do that? All Elisha is asking is that you wash in Jordan's river 7 times. It may be that some of the Lord's people they may have doubts about whether it is right for them to remember the Lord's death at this time. But for the moment, let's just think about what God, what Christ is requiring of His people. He's only requiring that they come to His table, that He Himself would be the servant and serve them. He Himself is the bread of life. All they are asked to do is receive the symbols of His body and blood, to receive Himself as the bread of life for the spiritual welfare of their souls. And is that asking too much? Are we doing what we can? Well, this love that the Lord's people have to Christ is to be expressed in the way that He has appointed. And not to labor the point, but again, we may ask, how should I serve the Lord? Should I be a missionary? Should I give $20,000 to a charity? What should I do? How can I show love to Christ? Well, do we think that the Lord will accept our other ways of that we devise to serve Him in these various ways? Will He accept those ways that we try to serve Him if we neglect to honor Him in the very specific way He has appointed? And that is, of course, this do. Do this in remembrance of Me. Receive the bread and wine as the symbols of My body and blood. That is the way that He has told us to honor Him. And that is the question. Are we seeking to honor Him in this way? Are we doing what we can? Especially when we know that this is what He has specified. Well, that is the test of our love, isn't it? The Savior said, if you love Me, keep My commandments. And if we know that He has commanded us to do it, are we seeking to do it? Because we love Him, not because we feel worthy. No, we should feel unworthy. Not because we have earned good points over the last few weeks. No, we have nothing at all. But are we ready to give expression to our love to the Savior? Do we desire to honor Him? Would it break our hearts if He looked upon us and saw that we are not honoring Him the way that He desires us to honor Him? Do we love Christ? Do we desire to be like Mary and do what we can? Would the Lord's people seek to benefit from his death without showing him their gratitude for dying for them? How can they not honor him in the way that he has appointed? When he gave expression to his love for them by his agony in the Garden of Gethsemane, when he sweat great drops of blood falling down to the ground, when he was mocked and spat upon, all in love, he gave himself to suffering. He gave his back to the smiters. He was scourged. He gave himself in love to his people. And how can they not then honor him by showing their love to him in the way that he has appointed when he has done so much for them? He says, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you." And what he asks of us is that we just remember him. "This do in remembrance of me." He gave his life. He says, I gave my life for you. "This do in remembrance of me." Perhaps some of the Lord's people are doubting. And we know that no one is really exempt from doubts and fears. But are we seeking sincerely to have our doubts removed? If we are really the Lord's people, are we just going to let the doubts remain? Are we going to do nothing about them? Are we not going to seek assurance that we are his people and that he has saved us? If Satan is harassing us, are we just going to give in and allow him to lead us to despair? Are we going to make no opposition to it? Are we not going to search his word for the promises? Recognizing that the Lord's Supper has been appointed for the relief even of weak believers. Remember, the same Lord who gave the precious promises to weak believers is the same Lord that appointed the sacrament of the Lord's Supper. He says, "To this man will I look, even to him that is poor and trembles at my word." And he is the one who appointed this sacrament, and he is the one who says, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you." Remember, he is the same, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. The one, as we were hearing about last night, who prayed for Simon Peter that his faith would not fail. He knew that Peter would deny him. He knew that his disciples would forsake him. They all forsook him and fled. And yet he appointed this sacrament for their good, even for those who are weak. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Perhaps you will say, "Well, I fear that if I make a profession and I come to the Lord's table, that I might fall. That I might fall into sin later on down the line. And I will, as a result, bring a blot on the cause of Christ. I will cause the enemies of God to blaspheme. They will be saying, 'Well, God had no power to keep his people,' or 'Religion must not be real after all.' They're no different from the rest of us. We knew all along, and here's the proof of it." Is that your fear today? That you will fall into sin and cause the enemies of God to blaspheme and bring a spot and a blot on the cause of Christ? Well, how will you answer this objection? Well, the answer, of course, is if you sincerely desire to give expression to your love to Christ, and do you not think the Lord takes notice of it? The Savior says about Mary, "She hath wrought a good work on me." He noticed it. And further, it was what she could. And are these things not commendable? Does the Lord not notice this? And I'm not saying you'll earn his favor by it. But it is acceptable to him. And he loves these things. He delights in these expressions of love to him. And does he not promise to keep you? Does he not have grace to uphold you as you sincerely desire to give expression to your love to him? Is not the Lord's Supper the very means in which he will keep you? It's one of the means of grace, and he keeps us by his grace. What are we missing by not coming to the Lord's table? We're missing grace. As it has been said before, and I don't want to mislead anybody, but nobody enjoys the grace of the sacrament unless they partake of the sacrament. There's a special benefit in coming to the Lord's table that we don't receive if we don't come to the Lord's table. The Lord keeps us by his grace. There's the answer. He giveth more grace. It's such a simple, short promise found in the Bible. He giveth more grace. And that, of course, is probably the basis of the doctrine of the Shorter Catechism. The benefits that accompany or flow from justification, adoption, sanctification are, one of them is increase of grace and perseverance therein to the end. Are these not precious words to the weak believer? He gives grace and he will help his people persevere to the end. And as we heard last night, though Peter denied him, Peter did deny the Lord. Did his faith fail? No, it did not. The Savior was making intercession for him. But thy faith fail not, and it did not fail. The spark of grace remained in it, and it later on fanned into a flame of devotion to the Savior. Lord, thou knowest all things. Yes, my heart is broken because I deny thee, but thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Do you love the Lord? And would you like to give expression to your love to the Lord? Well, the Lord shows you how to do it. Perhaps you say, I may be deceived. What if I come to the Lord's table and I'm just deceiving myself the whole time and I'm not really one of his people after all? That happens sometimes. They make a profession and they were deceived. And later on they find out that they were wrong. Well, let's say that it is possible you're deceived. But the great question is, do you desire to be undeceived? Do you want to know the truth? Are you sincere in your desire? That's the question. You have examined yourself. You say, well, I believe that I have some of the marks of grace. I believe that I think I am one of the Lord's people. But I still have these fears about me. And I dread being deceived. And I don't see how I'll ever get over that. Well, I don't think the Lord is asking you to get over it at this moment in order to come to his table. We should always be examining ourselves, even after you come to the Lord's table. Don't think the days of self-examination are over. Just because somebody has been ordained to the ministry, don't think that his days of self-examination are over. Are we really called to the ministry? Are we really set on preaching to perishing souls? Do we desire to win souls to Christ? Is this the one thing that matters to us? The Lord's people will always be examining themselves. Are they in the faith? Are they doing God's will? Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? Paul said, I have not attained. I press on toward the mark. No doubt Paul would struggle at times, and he did with an old man. So, if you desire that the Lord would speak to you, and if you are deceived, that he would undeceive you, do you not think the Lord, who is compassionate, will help you in these things? Recognizing that the Lord's table is appointed even for weak believers, those who are surrounded by temptations and a devil to tempt them, and doubts and fears. Yet, the Lord knows these things. He knows that we are dust. And here's another way we can look at it. Let us say that you could be assured of your salvation, and all the doubts would vanish. Perhaps there have been times in your experience when that has taken place. Big question. What was the effect of that? Did it make you say, well, sin is not such a big deal in my life after all? I'm forgiven. I don't need to worry about it. I'm saved. I'm not going to hell. So I don't need to be so watchful. I don't need to be careful about sin. I don't need to bridle my tongue. I'll just go on and carry on because I'm saved. I don't have anything to worry about. If that is the effect of being assured of your salvation, I would be very concerned. I would be alarmed. I would be saying, stop. Examine yourself. And think twice about what you're doing. But if you could suddenly be settled in your mind, I am one of the Lord's people. What joy! How I want to serve the Lord. How I want to be careful and watchful against sin. I don't want to go back into the sin that I've repented of. I want to follow Christ. I want to be kept. Lord, keep me from the great transgression. Cleanse me from secret faults. Keep back thy servant from presumptuous sins. I want to go on in the strength of the Lord, making mention of thy righteousness, even thine only. And if that is the effect of your assurance that you are saved, my friend, go forward in the path of duty, relying upon Christ, looking unto Jesus, the author and the completer, the finisher of our faith. He will carry you on. The path of the just is as the shining light, which shineth more and more unto the perfect day. She hath done what she could. Are we doing what we can? Do we desire to do so? Think of the desire of the Lord Jesus. Remember, with desire, I have desired to eat this Passover with you. Do you think he wants any of his people to stay back from his table? He wants them to come. He wants them to sit down. I am among you as he that serveth, he says. And he desires to serve them at his table. He will be the bread of life. He will be the source of communion with him and his people. What do we miss, friends, by abstaining, or I should say, refraining from coming to Christ and looking to him? How we miss out on the greatest blessing, the greatest joys, by not looking to Jesus. Whoever you are, whatever your condition, how could you refuse an interview with Christ? To enjoy his presence, to receive satisfaction in your soul. The Lord Jesus said to the woman at the well, if thou knewest the gift of God, if you only knew who you were speaking with, if you only knew the one with whom you have to do, with whom you're going to meet in eternity, if thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. Come to him, whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely, and then rely upon his power. Come to him, looking to him, looking to the one who will shield you, who will help you, protect you from your enemies. He will say of you, let her alone. Why trouble ye her? She hath wrought a good work on me. For ye have the poor with you always, and whensoever ye will, ye may do them good. But me ye have not always. She hath done what she could. She is come aforehand to anoint my body to the burying. May he bless his word. Let us pray.